Doug Tyrrell, History and Comment is available weekdays on iHeartRadio.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Tyrrell. This is History and Comment for Monday, the 29th day of January, 2024. There is another Pope story in 904, but I'm not interested in that today. There are a few old birthdays to note. Katharina von Bora in 1499. She was the future wife of Martin Luther. Katharina was a nun and Martin a priest when they met, but Martin was more on the outs with the church. Celibacy in the ministry is not recognized by any of the Protestant churches. Thomas Paine in 1737. We talked a couple of weeks ago about his pamphlet, Common Sense, and its effects on the American Revolution. Moses Cleveland in 1754. He was a native of Connecticut and a general in the Revolutionary War. After the war, he led a survey party to the Western Reserve, land in present-day northeastern Ohio. The city of Cleveland is named for him. The Western Reserve was an area west of Pennsylvania, north of the 41st parallel, and west to present-day Sandusky, Ohio. Youngstown is roughly just inside of the southern border. In its earliest version, Connecticut considered its lands from the Atlantic to at least the Mississippi River and between the 41st and 42nd parallel. Then they lost land to New York and later Pennsylvania. After the Revolution, they lost most of the land west of Pennsylvania. Henry Lee III is born in 1756. He was a ranking officer in the Virginia Cavalry during the Revolution and giving command of a cavalry corps. He was a delegate to the Congress of the Confederation and supported the adoption of the Constitution. If you know much of colonial history, the Lee family was deep in Virginia affairs. Henry had 9 children, including Robert E. Lee. William McKinley was born in 1843 in Niles, Ohio. Niles began as a steel furnace and was part of the Western Reserve. McKinley joined the Civil War as an enlisted soldier and rose to the rank of major. He became Ohio governor and a congressman before becoming president in 1897. He was the last president to fight in the Civil War. McKinley was a popular president and easily won re-election to a second term, but was assassinated just 7 months into it. His killer was part of an anarchist movement. We might talk more about that if we have time. The Raven is published in 1845. It's the first work published under the author's name. That would be Edgar Allan Poe. Poe was just a couple weeks past his 36th birthday. Henry Clay was a prominent politician from Kentucky who 3 times ran for president. On this day in 1850, he introduces the Compromise of 1850 to the Congress. It was a series of bills intended to lessen the tensions from the slave issue. The bills admitted California as a free state, strengthened the fugitive slave laws, and defined the borders of Texas, along with other more minor provisions. Kansas is admitted as the 34th state in 1861. While the automobile came of age in the 20th century, its roots go well back into the 19th. German Carl Benz patents the first successful gasoline automobile in 1886. Typical of early motor cars, it looked more like a horse carriage than a modern car. Benz's version had a rear-mounted engine and a single wheel up front to steer. Keep one fact in mind. The borders in Europe are based on very long-held concepts, and modern wars have very deep roots. 1918, the Ukrainians and Soviets are going at it. The Bolshevik Red Army is laying siege to Kiev. The first inductees to the Baseball Hall of Fame are announced in 1936. They are 6 in the initial group. You most likely recognize only a couple, Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth. Actor Tom Selleck is 79 today. He has 2 long-running television series to his credit, Magna P.I. beginning in 1980, and Blue Bloods that will begin its 14th and final season in a couple of weeks. Television seasons were once from the fall through mid-May, roughly aligned with the school year. Today, that is not the case. Blue Bloods season 14 will bridge the summer gap and end with 8 episodes in the fall of 2024. Selleck is largely English in descent. and traces his family's arrival to the year 1633. This makes him the 11th generation born in North America. Media magnate Oprah Winfrey is 70. Certainly, it is a true rags-to-riches story. You have to give her some credit for building a media empire. I'm concerned that the image is largely bait-and-switch. She notes her upbringing as a Baptist and at the same time espouses a theology that is more Eastern spiritualism than Baptist. She wants to claim status as an independent politically, but routinely sides with leftist Democrats. Let's make one point here that is well beyond Oprah. What the term independent means is, quote, "I want to appear more to the right than my voting record would suggest," end quote. That is a universal phenomenon. An independent on the right will hold a more conservative position, but settle to vote for the more moderate candidate. A leftist will campaign as a moderate, then act as a leftist. In his 2002 State of the Union speech, President George W. Bush defines an axis of evil that includes Iraq, Iran, and Northern Korea. That list is largely the same today. The news this morning details how an Iranian-sponsored attack killed three American soldiers and injured others. Our current president offers his sympathies, yet has turned a blind eye to a long series of hostile acts that have Iran's name and money all over them, including the Israeli-Hamas conflict. While we're talking current affairs, the border war is getting hotter. Folks, the federal government is openly fighting Texas and aligned states to keep the borders wide open. This has long stopped being an issue of a few Mexicans drifting across the border. The nationality of illegals is from around the world, and a number have been captured that would have not been admitted due to background issues. They are on watch lists as bad players, and it's certain some have gotten in. What will we say at some future point if some group of these players attempt or pull off another 9/11 attack? The number of illegal encounters at points of entry and across the border at other points are up in both categories by nearly three times in 2023 than they were in 2020 prior to the current administration. The question that begs asking is, why does the administration insist on this? If Congress and the president agree to change immigration policy, they can easily do that in an organized manner. But that is not what we are doing. I had to note on a recent episode of Chicago Med, the storyline included immigrants being dumped on Chicago from southern border states. Now ask yourself, why Texas is a prime target for border crossings, and why liberal states in the Northeast do not want the problem on their doorstep, yet they fault Texas for not wanting them. It's all related to the idea of anarchy. The reportedly peaceful riots, now there's an oxymoron if there ever was one, from a couple years back, were all but lauded in the circles of the left. Leftists want disorder. This allows them to rise in the chaos, just like the election debacle. Rule of law and an orderly government is not the environment that favors a big and all-powerful government. It's only a slight stretch to include importing a bad disease to garner more power. These things are all the bailiwick of one side of the political debate. The simple point is a well-informed and independent population do not need or want a large, benevolent government. Related but not, this weekend marked Holocaust Remembrance on the anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz-Birkenau death camps. Prager University posted one of their five-minute videos looking at the history. I tried to share it on social media. It would not load, and I was warned about violating their community standards. Folks, history should be studied with all of its warts so we understand the causes of the warts in the first place. All forms of media have a certain bias. People should be made aware of that simple fact and taught to develop their own filters, not block stories we do not want to hear. As to a bias, yes, I have one. I'm for small government, individual liberties, and a free market. I also know there needs to be some limits because there are bad players in the world, and we're certainly in a world government. I continue to subscribe to the Reagan ideal that government is the problem. Illinois as a state is a strange dichotomy. Downstate is rural and largely conservative, yet the elephant in the room is Chicago, which dominates the state's politics, and they are completely corrupt. There is a joke that Illinois is the place where the former governors make the state's license plates, a job often done in state's prisons. 2009, Governor Rod Blagojevich is removed from office. He had been convicted on several charges relating to filling the Senate seat left vacant by the election of Barack Obama. Oprah was considered for the seat, but declined. Most likely, it was a massive pay cut. That's History and Comment for the 29th day of January. I'm Doug Tyrrell. Now, go do something worth remembering.